So this is the Taylor Report. It is CIET 89.5 FM, and I believe we're joined by the man himself, Tony Leah. Are you there, Tony? Hello, Tony. He may be here. We're willing to wait. We're patient.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there he is. I think if you could just say one more time, you're there?
I am here, Phil.
Okay,
great
I got
to be with you.
Ah, that's good enough. Tony, you have been following, and it's been one of the great stories, the dramatic transformation of the United Auto Workers, one of the great unions of North American history, of which your union, Unifor, was once a part and remains a Confederate. The last time I'm going to use that word in connection with anything, but you guys are linked. Now, something really in my mind, and I know in yours, quite dramatic has happened. The leader, Sean Fain, has appeared publicly, standing alongside a Michigan congresswoman who has herself been censured by the United States Congress for her sharing her thoughts about the war in Gaza, the war on Gaza. And Sean Fain called for, I'm doing the whole story, ceasefire, and he praised Congresswoman Tlaib as well as another. Am I right?
You are right. There was a press conference in Washington on December 14th with a number of unions calling for a ceasefire. And Cori Bush and Rashida Tlaib were there. And Sean Fain opened his remarks by saying, "The UAW is proud to stand here with our fellow union family, with Congresswomen Cori Bush and Rashida Tlaib, who happen to be a couple of the most badass representatives in Congress. We stand together to call for peace and to call for a ceasefire."
Yeah, now, by the way, this is so, to me, and I would ask you to think about it, to elaborate on it too. You're aware that, you know, across North America, some union leaders have begun to do things. And we actually, the head of Unifor did herself appear, I think, somewhere and made the statement about a ceasefire. But for the most part, what they do, these unions, is issue statements. And you might see a spokesperson, but basically it's a statement. But here's Sean Fain. He's the guy. He says the buck stops here, right?
That's right. Yeah. It was remarkable that coming off their really landmark bargaining with the auto companies, and in the midst of launching an organizing campaign for the non-union auto companies, that Sean Fain said it was important for him as president, international president of the union, to connect the work of fighting for workers in bargaining and in the workplace with the broader call for the rights of all workers and social justice and human rights. And he said those things are connected, and you can't fight for one without fighting for the other.
Yeah, that is it's extraordinary in my mind that, you know, everybody predicted, or I think they, I shouldn't say they predicted, I think they assumed that, okay, he won the job, which is really remarkable, Democratic election, first one that the UAW has ever held, and then he says, we're going to take on these big three guys and we're going to beat them up, and he did it. And then people said, well, okay, he'll retreat to his office and he'll think about other union business. And here's this congresswoman, Tlaib, really gets into a jackpot with, you know, the United States Congress doing everything but arresting her. And he chooses, come out of his office, stand beside her, calls her a badass congresswoman, and says ceasefire is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
This involves, not only is it the right thing to do, but frankly, it's rather strategic, don't you think? I mean, he knows his members. I think he knows the country.
Yes. It does take courage, though. But you're right. He's not speaking on behalf of a minority. And he said that in his remarks. He said that that he is in line with the majority of countries in the world and with the majority of American citizens in calling for a ceasefire. Mm-hmm. And he even made a point of saying that he wanted to thank UAW members for speaking out and pushing us to come out in support of a ceasefire. I think that's remarkable as well, that he's giving, praising the membership of the union that was pushing for this step. Says something about the attitude of the new leadership of UAW.
And it says something also, in addition, there is the assumption that the unions in America are automatic Democratic Party supporters. And he is saying, has not endorsed President Biden, although everybody said, how about this, the actor with the baseball hat, the first president of the United States to walk a picket line. I mean, everybody said, oh my gosh, well, he did it once, and he did show up, and then he left. But mm-hmm. Sean Fain is not into optics only. He's not endorsing. And here's Biden. His numbers at the moment, I just checked them out before coming on air because I don't want to report people to be short of information. His numbers are falling, and they seem to be associated with Gaza. And here's Sean Fain standing alongside Tlaib, critical to policy at Biden. This is a moment here in American politics, and Sean Fain is playing a rough role.
An important role, and Rashida Tlaib, at that press conference, said this about Biden. She said, while he's called himself the most pro-union president in American history, he's ignoring the voices of working people across the country who are demanding human dignity, not only for their own families, but for families in Gaza and around the world. So that was at the same press conference. And you're right, the UAW has not endorsed Biden because they are going to judge politicians by what they do. Which is
there's a criteria. that is sadistic.
I do want to mention too that Rashida Tlaib, whose parents were born in Palestine, yes. Her father, when he immigrated to the United States, worked for Ford. He was an auto worker, and she, credits the UAW at the time
non-discrimination,
fighting for the human dignity of all workers. And she said that the UAW taught him he deserved human dignity, even though he only had a fourth grade education, even though he was Palestinian, even though he was Muslim. On that assembly line, he was equal to every single human being on the line. So,
incidentally, this is Tony Leah, Unifor, and an analyst. He's reached the stage, you just Google Tony Leah and you find out what's going on in labor. But Tony, you yourself have encountered Congresswoman Tlaib, if I recall. I think we interviewed you once where she was the loudest voice in a battle about the plant closing.
An amazing event, actually, when General Motors announced that they were going to close five auto plants, including our plant in Oshawa. Some workers from Oshawa went to Detroit to join a demonstration there that was called by the Democratic Socialists of America and some other groups, Auto Workers Caravan. And Rashida Tlaib was on the bullhorn leading the chants and calling for General Motors to be nationalized if they didn't reopen those plants. And I did talk to her at that demonstration. It was one of the most energizing demonstrations I've ever been to in my life. You know, they had the New Orleans brass band and a lot of energy.
Yeah, by the way, I remember how we appreciated her, because that was at a time when every member of parliament still wore the same uniform and were marching around like toy soldiers saying, yes, sir, no, sir. And yep. We envied them. We said, wow, a congresswoman, Palestinian, with a bullhorn calling for the nationalization of an auto company.
Yeah.
Let's hope that doesn't get across the border where the progressives and the liberals and the light, you know, brilliant people live.
She pointed out something interesting on Twitter recently. She said that, you know, polls show that 60% of Americans support the call for a ceasefire, whereas in Congress, it's 11%.
Just amazing. We're speaking to Tony Leah. Pardon the little cough. That's to remind you I haven't been well. Tony, there was a big contract, and I want to ask you about it, because these things make the headlines, or there's a photograph. We thought there was going to be a strike at No Frills, and it came right up to the hour, and then, lo and behold, the angel Gabriel, or whoever it was, flew in and settled the whole thing, and everybody said, wow, another victory. Uniform had a picture with their thumb up. But there was something of... There was a detail you told me about that contract, which I found shocking. I hope you can remember what it was I found shocking.
Yes, I found it shocking, too. Prior to the strike, this was at a group of 17 different no-frills operations around Ontario, over 1,200 workers, and there were the... In this workforce, only 6% of the workers are full-time. 94% part-time workers. 94%. And Unifor helpfully published some figures to understand this group of workers when they were bargaining. The part-time workers, on average, were earning $16.95 an hour before the bargaining. Mm-hmm. The Ontario minimum wage is $16.55. 25% of the workers are student part-timers, 25% of the workforce. Mm-hmm. They were averaging $15.62 an hour. The Ontario minimum wage for students is $15.60 an hour. So on average, they were earning 2 cents an hour above minimum wage.
Hey, that's why you have a union, man.
That's what you call the union advantage.
That's why that's the difference, the big difference, 2 cents.
Unifor, in touting the agreement that they negotiated, which they say was overwhelmingly ratified, we don't know the numbers because they didn't provide the numbers, but in this contract, they negotiated that there would be, within a year, 77 additional full-time jobs. That will bring the percentage of full-time workers from 6% to 8%. And there'll still be 92% part-time. The other thing about they touted the wage increase that they had negotiated. The wage increase only applies to full-time workers who are at the top rate, which takes them 3 years. But remember, there's only 6% of the workers are full-time anyway. For the part-time workers, they don't get the raise until they reach the end rate, which takes them 7,000 hours. Now, part-time workers work part-time. They work 28 hours a week at most. So it's going to take them 4, 5, 6, 7 years before they get to the what they call the end rate and qualify for the increase that Unifor negotiated.
So the 6% was rather different in their income.
Right. Well, the full-time workers are at a higher rate. They're $3 an hour higher to begin with. But even the full-time workers were averaging under $20 an hour before the bargaining.
It was that vote wasn't exactly overwhelming, was it?
Yeah, we don't know what the vote was. The contract doesn't sound overwhelming to me. There'll be a few people that benefit more, but the vast majority of workers, it sounds to me like, won't get much out of it. And it continues the practice that has become widespread in the grocery retail industry of relying almost entirely on part-time workers who have the worst benefits, the lowest wages, of course.
We need a reform movement in the union movement. That's just a slogan. Tony, thank you very, very much. I do appreciate it.
All right. Nice talking to you again.
Congratulations on Sean Fain. He's a great guy. Thank you.
I agree. Bye.